Good morning. Lovely to see you again. It is. It's actually quite fun preaching twice on my birthday. First time ever. Good thing, as someone said to me, good thing I'm an extrovert. But I don't need all my quiet time on my birthday. So thanks for sharing it with me. For those of you who don't know, I'm Jackie. I lead the children's ministry here at Living Waters. So today was really just an opportunity. We finished up Kids Church last week with a family Christmas experience in the small tent with all the parents and children together. And today was really just an opportunity to be before you to honour the team that serve with me, because they do a phenomenal job. So we had them all up in the first service and gave them cards. I think a couple of them... They seem to be out the back. But just to know that we have an amazing team that serve the kids' ministry every week. They're really faithful on a weekly basis coming here. So just give them a round of applause. You know, they just do a remarkable job. And we take wee breaks in the holidays, but they just love to come and love on our kids. One thing I tell the children every week is, we call it Kids Church because we cater to the kids and we do things differently than we do in here. But kids' church starts in here, okay, at 9:30 or when the service starts. This is church for kids is in here, right? None of you sit here going, well, this part's not for the children. But sometimes the kids are in here kind of hanging out waiting to start their program, and I just want to encourage you, whether they're your children or not, just have an attitude of the kids, this is their service too. And certainly all through the holidays, you know, we do church together. So, kids' attention span's different. We have wee kids' packs. We do things that welcome them, but they are here because they are part of the house of God. So just keep that as part of your attitude towards kids, grandkids, the children around you. We really want them to know that they are welcome in here from the very, very beginning. So I wanted to share with you a couple of things that we looked at last week, because some of you missed out because you didn't have kids, so you missed out. So I wanted to share some things with you. But first of all, one of my favourite moments this year, kids say amazing things, and I absolutely love the privilege of being with the children each week, and the team do too, and just hearing their feedback. You know, we're really journeying with them. It's not about us telling them just how we follow Jesus. It's journeying with them as they discover for themselves how they're going to follow Jesus. And we just want to ignite a desire in them to follow Jesus all their days. All right. And one of my favourite moments was actually quite recently. We were talking about making an impact in this life and how we were custom creations. God designed us each uniquely to impact the world around us with the gifts and talents that he gave us. And I said to the children at one point, do you think that adults can make more of an impact in the world around them than children? And I was expecting them to go, no, that's the same. But they quite strongly said, no, kids can make more of a difference. And I was a little bit surprised at their confidence. So I thought, that's great. So I said, why? They have got it, that they make a difference from now. They make an impact every day of their life. And so after that whole session, we were heading into Christmas, and we're talking about celebrating Christmas and reasons we have to celebrate. And we began looking at the fact that God has made a plan, right? We can celebrate because he has a plan. And so that these kids are beginning to get that they're part of that plan, right? Right from now. Okay, so they can use their whole life. So, don't be discouraged, adults. You can make a difference too. But the children were getting it, that they are part of God's plan. They can make a difference now. And it's about the little things. It's not about the big, grand gestures. Like, you can build an orphanage in Africa. And, I love those organizations that have done it. But for our kids, it's about what can you do for the friend at school? How can you treat your brother or your sister? How can you just love someone? And the little things every day, right? Because that's actually what matters. So I was absolutely stoked with that. And these kids are living in a time where they need to know very securely that they are part of God's plan. All right? Very, very securely. We started with Mary last week. And so, most of you know the story of Christmas and how Mary, she's raised in a Jewish home, and it's very likely that, she was taught the plan for her life was pretty much as follows. Raised in my family, I will learn how to keep a house. My family will pick a husband for me. We will be betrothed for a season. We'll get married. I will learn how to keep house and have children. And they will look after me in my old age, right? That's it, kind of thing. That's the plan. It's not like there was career options, right? My kids are like, I want to be a lawyer. I want to be, my daughters have got plans, right? But this was Mary. This was kind of it. So when the angel turns up and says, you're going to have a baby now by the Holy Spirit, That was a big, big mess up of her plans, right? Like, game-changing moment. And we know from what the scripture says that she was scared. Like, she was, it says that she was deeply troubled, as she should be. This was a game-changing moment for her. And somehow, though, in through that trouble, she fairly quickly is still able to say, okay, God, be it according to your plan, which is quite a mature response for a teenager. And she had to journey that out and the repercussions of what happened. But she gets to this point, and I wondered, so we reflected last week, I wondered maybe what was it that enabled Mary to kind of come to that position? You know, obviously she had a real genuine love for the Lord and for the story of God that had been handed to her. And maybe she knew the story of her ancestors. I'm sure she'd been taught about the people and the in her lineage and their lives and their big events. And every single one that I could think of had their plans messed up pretty big. Had things happen in their life they probably didn't bank on happening. Russell, kids, can any of you remember? I think we've gone down to one left. Lincoln, can you remember any of the ones we talked about last week? Not to put you on the spot, buddy. Yeah. We looked at Abraham, okay? God said, hey, leave everything behind and go somewhere where I'll show you as you go. We looked at Moses, you know, from the very beginning, his parents had to put him in a basket and send him down the river. You know, he got raised in the enemy's house, essentially. Then he flees, you know, and then God tells him to go back. I mean, honestly, at every point, I'm sure I can hear him going, this wasn't the plan. Wasn't the plan, God. We looked at Joseph. Joseph, the plan was messed up. Esther, no, that was not the plan, to be called into the king's court with no guarantee you'd be the one chosen to be married to the king, right? So we're looking at these people, but and amazingly, somehow, for all of them, God takes their lives, at whether or not their plan was messed up because God had a plan that was greater than theirs, or whether or not the enemy tried to have a plan and God used it, God always leads them to a point where they are part of his story of redeeming humanity, part of his story for the world. And I don't know that they always felt like that in the middle of it, right? You know, oh, this feels really great, says Joseph, being in prison. I'm sure this is significant in God's plan. I don't imagine he felt like that. You know, we often don't feel like what's happening for us is highly significant. It just feels tough. And I think, I imagine that's what they felt like. I didn't actually mention this in the first service, but what we talked about it last week, that all of these people, we know their stories, and we think of them. They all had parents watching their child's life get pretty much undone. So if you're a parent or you're a grandparent, you know, imagine watching your son, okay, be sent away by the God he follows to possibly never see again. Imagine watching your daughter, who you had great plans for her marriage and her life, being sent off to the king's palace. You know, all of them, the parents were watching them going, God, what are you doing with my child? The heartache, right? And it doesn't always feel like it's significant in the moment in which it's happening. But God has always got a plan. And I wonder if Mary had enough knowledge in her that she was able to look back over history and go, God has a plan. And I can lean hard into that plan. So I don't know about you, but is there anyone here who feels like maybe, you know, life as it is cut now kind of wasn't the plan? Anyone feel like maybe life's not quite going according to plan? Yeah, and not just the current environment like this, you know, obviously COVID, all of that, but you know, in other things in your life. It might be in your health. This wasn't the plan. It might be, you know, with your house. My husband and I, we're currently out of our home because we are renovating it, or rather we are destroying it and rebuilding it. And constantly we have a plan and we get given this date, this is going to happen on this date. And the plan is constantly moving, right? You know, so last week we got told the roof won't go on before Christmas. Like, you know, little things that we just like, okay, the plan has changed again. So it's lots of areas of our life that the plan is constantly changing. And we get thrown by it. You know, it's hard. There's a lot of emotions. There's a lot of what is going on. And we find ourselves getting really distracted And it's so easy to get distracted by the constant change and the constant storm that seems to swirl around. And I'm sure that Hebrews, so in Hebrews 11, which is a common, it's a faith chapter. It talks about, you know, by faith, and it lists, goes through these beautiful ancestors, you know, through the Bible. And most of those ones that I just mentioned are listed in Hebrews for living their lives with faith, right, as examples of faith, going where God called them to go without knowing the outcome, following him when they didn't know what was going to happen. So we have that to model on. And then we get to Hebrews 12. In Hebrews 12, the first sort of three scriptures, I want to read this to you in the Message translation. I don't often use the Message. It's a paraphrase, but sometimes it just nails it really well. So listen carefully to this. He's just referring to these people of history that he's just talked about, and he says, "Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on. It means we'd better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat. He never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, the cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item. The long litany of hostility that he plowed through, that will shoot adrenaline into your souls." Did you hear that? He's just handed us this incredible tool to get through the seasons of challenge, to get through the seasons that are hard. You know, most standard translations just say, you know, fix your eyes on Jesus. He's the perfecter of your faith. And I really feel like in this season, the danger is that we will get distracted. You'll get distracted by so many things that are happening in your world. You know, and I said before, you know, I'm pretty busy. I got lots of laundry at home, so I'm just going to give it to you straight. I don't have time to muck around, all right? Some of you are just super distracted by your own opinions right now, all right? You're super distracted by the noise, not just the circumstance, but what's happening. You might be distracted by your emotions. Who's got some big emotions sometimes? I do. My children do. Big feelings. Some of us externally process our feelings, and some of us have internal quieter feelings. But they can be really loud. The voices are really loud. We get distracted by our own anxiety and fear. We even get distracted. We can even be distracted by injustice. There are so many things that come to distract us from what is going on. And it gets harder and harder to fix our focus on Jesus, how to push away the noise and find him. Because if I get distracted by other things, I might miss what he's doing. I might think I know what he's doing, but I might actually miss it because I might be led, not on purpose, I might be led by my feelings somewhere. I might be led by the pain or the distractions, to a position. And then I'm saying, Jesus, help me in this moment. And he's going, I'm right here. I'm just over here. Just take a step away from that and hear what I'm saying to you now. And I've become really aware that our children need to know how to hear the voice of the Lord. And you do too. And I know you can go on and learn about how do you do that. And some people, we say, I really struggle to hear God. And that's okay. This is your season to say, God, I'm not leaving until you speak to me. I'm not leaving until I hear you so that I can go, oh. Because when he speaks, it changes everything. And when you've been led by the Holy Spirit, it's actually a lot easier to love others. Because you get really secure in what God's spoken to you. You have no need to tell other people what they should be doing. You have no need to chase after them, to be swayed by what's happening in their world. You just get to be kind and love them because you are grounded in what Jesus has said to you. And I want that for us. I want that for our children. We need to lead by example in this. My kids have seen me under a lot of stress in the last wee while. I'll be honest, they have definitely witnessed mummy under stress. I've got really good at apologizing to my children when I make a mistake and when I get it wrong. But one thing I am okay with is that I want them to see my process, that yes, I'm struggling, this is hard. But I always come back to, okay, let's just take a moment and ask the Holy Spirit just to give us that peace and just to anchor ourselves in Him again. Afraid of your emotions? Like, come on. Just read David, you'll figure that one out real fast, okay? Read Psalms. He feels it, feel it, but come back to Jesus. And when you find yourself flagging in your faith, when you find yourself weary and tired and a bit confused, and all your conversations sort of tend to back to one point, when you find yourself flagging, go over the story of Jesus again and again, item by item, until you feel that incredible sense of hope and peace come to you. You can do that. You can seriously, like, anchor down. And if you can't, you're going, I can't silence the storm, just wait a bit longer. Just wait a little bit longer again. Jesus, you have a plan. And I don't know what it is. Or I don't know. I know the end story. I don't really know, but I want to partner with you in this plan. And I'm really encouraged for the generation coming under us that they're going to know this so deeply. They're going to know it so intense. Not distracted. Not, oh, it's just too much. I can't handle it. No, you can handle it because you can find His face and you can look towards Him and you can go through anything. You know, we can go through COVID. We can go through earthquakes. We can go through, you know, tyranny. We can go through injustice. We can go through anything if we keep our eyes on Jesus. And that is what the scripture is saying. Come on, yeah. Honestly, I'm so encouraged that when I sit and look at Him, like the song says, when I look at Jesus, the things of the world begin to grow dim. And when they grow dim, you feel that joy and that peace begin to rise. So this Christmas, you know, Christmas is a challenging time. I love Christmas. I don't always love December, but I love Christmas. And, you know, we make it, it's about Jesus, but make it more than ever. More than ever, take the time to change the conversation, speak, this is about Jesus, look what He did, look at the hope that we have of this until eternity. But your life is significant right now in His plan. So no matter how much, what it looks like, you can absolutely trust Him. I shared very, very quickly, just very quickly, because I'm taking up Wes's time. I shared very quickly, but just this week, just back to children, just back to that significance of one and their life, I watched Rise of the Guardians again with them, and it's a fantastic children's movie, been around for a while. Rise of the Guardians has got, it's about Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, Tinkerbell, Sandman, and Jack Frost, and they are the guardians of the children's happiness. All right, they protect their happiness, and there's one bad character, essentially he's the boogeyman, his name is Pitch, and he, you know, he gets really annoyed if children aren't scared and frightened, people don't see him, so he tries to take over. And he does these things so that the children stop believing in Santa Claus and Tinkerbell, and they start losing the powers that they have, right, to do things for children. It's a really great movie. And there's this one moment near the end, though, the children of the world have stopped believing and Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny. And the Easter Bunny used to be this big bunny, and now he's this little bunny. And Santa can't fly anymore, and Tinkerbell can't fly. And, you know, because the children have stopped believing, except for one boy. And one boy refuses to stop believing. And because he refuses to stop believing, and he goes, I know you're real. You have to show me you're real. And he sees Jack Frost. And then because he sees Jack Frost, his eyes are opened, he can see them all. And so he's like, I can do it. And as he does this, other children around him, his friends, begin to see again. And they get excited and they come out. But Pitch has come with his army of black horses. And they're coming to take over the whole town. And he's like, you think one kid's going to scare me? You think you can stop me? And he comes and he's like, look, do you believe in me now? And the little boy goes, I do believe in you. I'm just not scared of you. And when he does, his friends are filled with courage and they begin believing, and the guardians get their powers back and they take over because those horses smell fear. And the guardians go, well, it's not my fear he's smelling. And the horses go after Pitch because they can smell his fear. And so it's a really cool picture, though. It just takes one child, actually it just takes one of you, just to keep going, I know God's plan, it's going to be okay, I'm not afraid of the plans changing, I'm not afraid of the enemy's plans because I know whose team I'm on. So just be encouraged this morning. It's a real privilege serving the families here and being with the kids. I wish you'd all want to be in that tent sometimes. but there's good stuff in here too. But yeah, thank you for just letting me share this morning, and thank you for your support of our kids and our families.